I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Manchester City Football Social Podcast. Thank you very much for downloading. If you haven't already, subscribe and make sure you give us a good rating. Tonight's show, well, it's a bit of an international break special. We talk a little bit about the FA Cup. Were we lucky? Maybe. Were we?
We'll have to find out. Correct.
And obviously we talk about the international break. We answer your questions, and if you want to get some in for next week's show, make sure you do.
And a shout out to our new friend Havis, who texted us 8 times during the show. We love you.
Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising.
Good evening and welcome to the Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising. I'm Natalie Pike and I am joined in the studio with the boys from Blue Moon Rising. It's Adam and Alex. Good evening, gents.
How are you, Natalie? You all right?
Even better now for seeing you guys and after the weekend, or the week indeed, that we've had. I've got a big smile on my face. I'm feeling pretty happy right now.
Yeah, we're being cautious because last time me and Alex were on the show was before the Newcastle game and we got very excited and then we lost. So we're more cautious today, but today on the show we've got, after last week's roaring success of our 62nd game at the end, we've got your questions at the end, as well as a little bit about Leroy Sané and the international break. What else have we got, Alex?
Well, there's loads to talk about. We've got to go back to the City versus Swansea game. What a game it was. And we are through to an FA Cup semi-final that we've got to look forward to. But do we really deserve to be there? It was a dubious penalty. Aguero looked like he might have been a touch offside, to say the least. We'll get stuck into that later in the show, I'm sure.
And we want your opinions, of course. As always, you can text us 87711. You can call us 0345 111 7625, and you can tweet us at Manc Football Social. But we're going to start with something that's really been irking me. It's really been annoying me, and I'm wondering if the guys feel the same, and obviously if you guys feel the same listening as well. So we've been getting a bit of stick lately in the media, on social media. Now I hear you shouting, what's new? But this in particular is an accusation that we have been getting easy cup run draws. They're saying that every draw we get is easy. What do we think?
Yeah, they've been favourable. There's absolutely no argument, but there's a few reasons why we've had easy, and I'm doing the air quotations before anyone starts saying we're getting easy draws. Because if you look in the domestic competitions, FA Cup, League Cup, the other big teams, again in quotation marks, they phoned it in. It's not our fault that the teams left in the FA Cup, if you look at it that way, are Wolves, Watford and Brighton. And people were saying, oh yeah, so if City get to the final, they'll have beaten this lot, that lot, and then Brighton, and then maybe Wolves in the final. That'll be the Wolves that knocked Liverpool and United out. So, easy runs, I'm going to say, yeah, favourable. But it's just absolutely not our fault. The fact that we've wanted these tournaments, the only one that you could probably say we've had the most favourable draws is probably the Champions League, where our group was weaker than others. And then we had Schalke in the last 16, who were terrible. So, yeah, it's obvious that we've had a better run, but what do you want us to do? Like, do you want us to play anyone else who isn't in the competition?
I imagine Come there's a particular radio station out there that would like us to go, no, sorry, do the draw again, put all the balls back in, pull another one out, this is too easy.
Who in the FA Cup, when we drew Brighton, who else did they want us to get? Wolves or Watford? It would still be favourable in everyone's eyes. Oh, yeah, but you drew Burton. Right, well, sorry, let's go back and let's start the whole season again. Sorry that this won't count now if we win it. A bit like the League Cup. Oh, yeah, but you had really easy draws. Come on. Pull the other one. We beat Chelsea in the final. boring.
I mean, it's a weird... I don't really understand anyone's point with it, because they go, first off, when you're top of the Premier League and you're the best team in the country, you're the favourite for every game. So by that sort of logic, you know, nice. It's that every game is an easy game for Manchester City. But also, like Adam said, you know, these are the team, take the team seriously. And you might as well go, they drew Newport County, but Newport knocked out Leicester City, you know, and it's one of those where they've earned their place to be there just as much as Manchester City have. And I think it's part of the way that we approach these games is that Man City have been knocked out by lower league sides. You know, we all remember the FA Cup final losing to Wigan. Exactly, that's exactly how it should be said. So we know, and we've been hurt by these teams before, so we take those games seriously and we beat them. Unlike the Manchester United to the Liverpool, who take these competitions sort of with their
shots fired. Well, it is true though, because everyone say Liverpool fans are the ones who are at it. Let's be honest. Let's throw that straight out there. United fans haven't been too hard on that. Oh, they've got the easy draws. It's Liverpool fans. Well, who did you get in the League Cup? Well, you didn't, because you phoned that one in. And then the FA Cup, you phoned that one in as well, because you played Wolves and decided, you know what, we're putting all of our eggs in the league basket. And that didn't work, so.
We've just had a text in. Thank you very much. You didn't put your name on it, but I very much appreciate your text. Manchester United's League Cup draw, 17-18, they played Burton, then they played Swansea, then they played Bristol City and got beaten.
Oh, who then beat Bristol City in the round after that? I'm just wondering. I don't. And the other thing is, Pep has learned, Alex is bang on. Wigan last year, it's a stain on that season. And as you saw in the Amazon doc, that's probably the most irate we'll ever see him. And he's learned, look at the teams that we're putting out in these competitions. It's actually scary. And then the fact that you're bringing Aguero off the bench late on to come and rescue a game is a beautiful thing.
That is exactly it for me. You can only, as cliche as it sounds, you can only beat what's in front of you. And when we go back to that game last season that still makes me stomach knot up against Wigan, then... You know, you've got to say, we didn't beat them last season. We've beaten what's in front of us this year. And like you say, Adam, and I always, always repeatedly say about Pep, is that he takes every single game that we're playing in totally seriously. And he didn't do a Liverpool and put out half a team against Wolves and then get beat. We've gone into every single game with the intention of winning. And, you know, we're still in four competitions, or we won one and we're still in three.
I mean, also, I mean, look at, I mean, how easy are these draws? Because everyone's said as well that the Champions League draw, Adam mentioned at the top of the show as well, that the Champions League draw has been favourable. But I don't think it is. I really do think, if you'd asked Pep Guardiola at the start of the season before that Champions League draw was made, do you fancy a trip out all the way to Ukraine? I think he probably goes, no, I think I'd rather play in France or Portugal or whatever. But we go and play those games in the cold weather and the tough sort of the atmosphere. And bear in mind that Donetsk is bordering on a war zone as well, the climate, you know, these difficult away days. You look at Hoffenheim, the team that are the fourth best team in Germany or whatever, but they're still a very, very good side. And then you look at Lyon.
And we lost to them.
We did lose to Lyon, and not only that, but Lyon then get into the last 16 and they go and get a draw with Barcelona. You know, they're clearly a side that have earned their place to be in the Champions League. And I remember, you know, year after year after year, because of the weird pot one, pot two, pot three system that UEFA insist on, year after year, Manchester United, like, it's getting like Otolul Galati and other teams that you can't pronounce, you know.
Alex, don't get me started on the coefficient process. I used to have such a problem with that, that is actually pretty much rigged so that teams like United, you know, Madrid, Barcelona do get easier teams so that they progress. And the only reason we are now in the pot one is because we actually were the champions that got into the Champions League. And I also have a massive problem with the amount of teams.
The Schalke game is the one where you hold your hands up and go, they were poor. They were the weakest side, probably. But you just have to beat them. And now, the quarterfinal draw is a weird one. I said, was it on the Friday show? I think it was on the Friday show, about Tottenham being the team I wanted. Like, I wanted us to get Tottenham for a number of reasons. A, I think Pep's got Poch's number these days. And B, there's no travel, or very little. If you think about some of the draws we could have got, there's fly-in and there's a lot of messing about. That Tottenham draw for me was good, so...
Did you think it was a good draw, Alex? Were you happy with it?
Yes and no. I think I have a weird personal thing with Tottenham Hotspur. I remember when we were first starting to get good, and I remember I was old enough to go start going to away dates. I think I was about 14, 15. And that was the year we were racing with Spurs for fourth place. And I've been told about a year before that if we got to the Champions League, I'd be allowed to go to a Champions League away day. My parents said that to me in the confidence that City were never going to qualify for the Champions League. 2 years later, Sheikh Mansour is bankrolling the club. And I remember that's the first and only time I've ever cried watching football with Peter Crouch. So I have this weird sort of personal phobia of Tottenham Hotspur. They're a great side. I think they will probably be in their new stadium, which is definitely going to be a boost. And Tottenham are definitely a club, Liverpool-esque, that get very romantic about these big games. It will be one of the biggest games in Tottenham's history.
New stadium as well.
Yeah, new stadium, Harry Kane on form. You know, Eriksen's son has been great this season. Yeah. They are a team that can hurt us, and it will definitely be not one to write off.
It could have been worse. Like, Barcelona would have been the tough one, and we didn't want Liverpool or United, just because we know how toxic it would be. The funny thing's going to be, like, right, let's dream big. We beat Spurs, and then we've got Ajax or Juve. You wait until people start crying if we draw Ajax, because Ajax knocked Juventus out. Oh, City, you've drawn Ajax now. How much easier is this? Ajax will have knocked Juve out, who've only lost one game all season. Come on.
They'll still say it, though, won't they?
It's just getting silly. And now if we slightly segue into the fixture congestion, just around that Spurs game, because if we're talking about that Spurs game, we may as well go into the fact that we've got to play them three times in a two-week period. And that for me is going to be strange, because two managers try to put out teams to beat each other over three games in a row. That's going to be weird, because after the first game, they'll say, oh, look how good they were at doing this. And then we'll start to see Pep changing his system, because you can't play the same system three games in a row against the same team, because you get worked out. Look what he did in the Arsenal game at home, where he put out basically three centre-backs and one left-back, which was really odd. But it worked in the end, and I imagine we'll start seeing that. I did want to ask you a very horrible question, right? We've got the two legs in the Champions League and one in the Premier League against Spurs. You can win one.
What?
You can win one. Someone asked me this the other
day. Win one at 90 minutes, or...?
You can win one game, Premier League game, at home to Spurs, or the two-legged tie in the Champions League. Oh. You can only win one.
One game? Of
three? Well, no.
Like, I'm really getting to the details here.
No, one tie. So we either go through in the Champions League or you win.
I take the Champions League. Oof. Because there's still a chance that we can win the Premier League without that.
That's my answer.
Compromise.
Oh, no.
We beat Spurs in the league. We draw with Spurs over two legs, and Spurs are a team that would absolutely 100% definitely crumble on penalties.
Yeah, fine. I'll have that.
Absolutely.
Or we don't even... Where are we on away goals? We'll score one. We'll have one all at theirs, nil-nil at ours, and we'll go through.
Yeah, I like that.
Clever. Yeah. Clever. My answer is just Champions League, because there's the hope then that there's another slip-up. But
talking about the fixtures, though.
I was going to go on to that. Come on, Nat.
In case anyone doesn't know, the Cardiff game has now been moved. So obviously that was supposed to be on the 6th of April, but then we got the FA Cup semi-final against Brighton. So that has been announced today. That has been moved to the 3rd of April at 7:45 at night. So obviously at night. So this is your fixture list now. So we've got the international break, and then on the 30th of March, we've got Fulham away. Then on the 3rd of April, we've got Cardiff at home. 6th of April, we've got the FA Cup semi-final against Brighton. 9th of April, Tottenham away in the first leg of the Champions League. 14th of April, Palace away in the league. 17th of April, Tottenham at home in the Champions League. 20th of April, Tottenham at home in the league. 24th, away at United. 28th, away at Burnley. And then that just leaves us two Premier League games after that in May. So that is effectively from the 30th of March to the end of April, nine games in 30 days.
People will end up just... the whole life is just gone in that 1 month. That's just...
It's going to be some fights at home over that in there.
That's outrageous. There was a good point made, wasn't there, that this break that's coming now, it's 2 weeks off, and that might help the fans. I'm not sure if I totally agree with that, because it might help fans to recover financially, shall we say.
I think you need to spend 2 weeks quality time with your family, do as much you possibly can with your family, get on some days out and stuff, because then from the 30th you can write off seeing your kids for a month.
Yes, it's actually terrifying. April is terrifying, but if you think about it, right, let's dream big, nine wins in April.
Oh.
We're in a semi-final of a Champions League, we've got to win two games to win the league, and we're in the FA Cup final.
Yes.
Imagine.
The momentum it would give would be incredible. And I think you go like sort of full siege mentality. You pull up the drawbridge. You don't let. I think you get into almost like a World Cup attitude where you play.
Yeah,
and I think you make it like a training camp. There's already this story that Pep is going to take the team for the we have like four games in London back to back, or three games in London back to back. So we're going to train and stay there for a week. Mm. And it'll be like a camp. But I think that's how you get into it. I think when you think about what teams go through internationals and they go through it at the World Cup or Euros, that kind of attitude, you get like, we're all staying in the hotel, no one leaves, no one talks to a journalist, no one goes anywhere, this is what we do, we're here to win games. And the rhythm and the mentality that gives you.
Yeah, Pep's really good though, isn't he, at this one at a time thing. It's a really old cliche, right? One game at a time, let's beat Fulham away next, then let's beat Cardiff. But he proved the end of last season, that's exactly what he does.
Yeah,
He will not start looking at the Tottenham game yet. He'll look at that after we've played the games before. That's going to be...
There's a lot of games before.
Yeah, there's some huge banana skins as well coming up.
Oh, definitely. Some,
Fulham away won't be easy. Liverpool showed that. But both teams, to Liverpool's credit, actually, both teams are in grind mode already. There's 8-9 games to go in the league. Both teams are not blowing other teams away now in the league. It's going to be tough because Fulham are fighting for their lives. Cardiff aren't out of it yet. They're both going to be tough games. Palace will be tough because they're not fully safe.
And they've had us this season already.
They've already beaten us once. Then we've got the three Tottenham games. United's going to be horrible.
And then Burnley away is
tough. They're not fully safe. So we're playing teams we don't play in that period. And you can talk about easy cup runs. The league run, we don't play anyone in that nine games who are A, safe, or are not fighting for something. Tottenham and United are fighting for the top four. And the other sides that we play are all fighting against going down. So there's no mid-table mediocrity, as people have put it. That's tough.
Really interesting. You've got me thinking now about the fact that we're busy talking about the Tottenham game and the United game, and you're right, dotted in there, you have got, you know, Cardiff, Fulham, Burnley, Palace. Do you think there's any chance that the concentration is going to be any, you know, somewhere else when you come to those games?
No, absolutely not. It's going to be horrible.
Do you not think it's Manchester City all over?
No, nope, stop, even Alex. Don't
we stop. We bat Spurs, we bat United, and we lose at Burnley.
Yeah. Alex!
Sorry, let's go to the Everts.
Stop. Go away.
Right, loads more to talk about now. Later on, obviously, we've still got to cover City versus Swansea, and we're going to have a little chat about the goals, a quick chat about VAR. I feel like VAR's getting done to death now, but it's like we can't not mention it on this show as well. So, do stick with us, and please get in touch. You know, 87711 on the text, 0345 111 7625. Do give us a ring. We love chatting.
Manchester City Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising.
Hello, welcome back to the Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising. I am Alex. We are talking all things City. I'm here with Natalie and Adam. Get in touch. You can be part of the show as well. Get on your phone, text in 87711 or give us a ring 0345 111 7625. Or for the kids that are cool, get on Twitter at MCR Footy Social and you can give us a follow as well while you're there. Sounds like a treat. Now, plenty to get stuck into at the weekend. Manchester City travelled down to Swansea City and came back with the result necessary to get us into a cup semi-final. I have no idea why I said that like that either.
Just
talking like a medieval king.
We are back.
Yeah, you bought me 3 points.
Came back with the heads.
Pep Guardiola, Earl of Lancashire. But yeah, we got the results. Great, but did we deserve to be there? I'm going to put my hands up. I almost didn't want us to score that penalty. I just didn't feel comfortable taking it. And then
I celebrated us scoring it in a pub full of Welsh people. I say Welsh people. People who'd been watching the rugby and then decided that they were Swansea fans. And there was a Welsh lady next to me. She was lovely, but she wasn't half giving it out and Swansea were winning. So it was pretty lovely to watch. I have absolutely no regrets that's how we won it. Do you know what? I prefer winning games like that sometimes. Get people's backs up. And as Alex mentioned before, the dreaded word siege mentality. Get everyone else's backs up. It's us against the world. And if you want to win things, you win things in any way, shape or form. It does not matter now. So the other day, we are now a club that people don't like, even if they don't know why. They'll say money or they'll say, ooh, they rig the draws, as we've already talked about. Who cares? We'll talk in the third section because there's a great question about this that it won't count. Nothing we do will count. If we win the quadruple, people will have an issue with it.
Definitely.
Because of games like this. Oh, remember when they were offside in the Swansea game and there should have been VAR? Come on. In 5 years' time, no one will even remember we played Swansea. Never mind the offside.
I don't know, you know, because I do get what you're saying about it's part of being a big club and that you're going to upset people, however which way you win. I mean, we beat Burton fair and square 9-0 and that wasn't enough for people. That was too
one too
kept
short.
It tighter and more dubious. And now that we've won it 3-2 and it was very tight, people aren't happy with that either. But still, you know, growing up in the North West, you have to choose City or United. And I always thought that City were the good guys.
We're the bad guys now, Alex. Sorry.
I don't want to be.
Newsflash, we are now bad guys.
I'm not having it, because this feels a bit like, Luke, I am your father. I don't want to find out that we're one of them, you know?
We are bad guys.
We're the nice guys.
We are to us. And to be fair, Pep looked extremely embarrassed after it. You've got to, for all the criticism he gets as well, the humility he shows in things like that is pretty strange sometimes, that he came out and said, look, it was offside and it might not have been a penalty. Mm. But what can you do? Has anybody got a suggestion?
Oh, well I don't have a personal
Somebody
suggestion,
did.
But I mean, I can repeat a suggestion that has been going around
no
Twitter.
No names named.
We will not name the names because in general, as we all know, it is clickbait. It is clickbait and it is promotion that they come
it's
out
rubbish.
With particularly ridiculous things. But somebody out there has suggested, I honestly hope they weren't serious and it was just some sort of clickbait, that we offer Swansea a rematch.
No, Nat, that's not clickbait. That's people are actually that weird.
No,
people
I just can't
are
believe it.
Weird. Yeah, but crack on. Like I said, tomorrow morning. Let's just have it tomorrow morning in a park. What do people expect? Swansea going to have a replay?
Put your jumpers down.
Do people want a rematch and Swansea are already 2-0 up? How is that going to work? We have a rematch, but actually Swansea are 2-0 up and it's half-time.
I was wondering if we're going to do then, does that mean that we can go back and look at all the decisions? So can we get a replay on that Wolves game where they handballed the ball into
yes,
the net?
Yes, so we is get that, 3
okay.
points for that one.
Can we get 3 points there? Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it works now. So we'll replay the Wolves game if Swansea... So if Swansea and Wolves and the FA are listening, we'll replay the Swansea game if we can have the 3 points from Wolves.
Because I don't remember people saying that Wolves had stolen points off us and that Wolves should offer us a replay. This is the first time I've ever heard of
No,
a
ref didn't
this.
See it. Does it count? But VAR. Ooh, VAR.
I do like your suggestion that we should haggle it. All right, we'll have a rematch. But we should. That's not. We get. Let's just not play football anymore. We'll all just negotiate and we'll go. Actually, well, we win the Premier League, but we'll have that as a replay and we'll go back.
Well, I'm proper stubborn, so I should probably be the representative then, because I'm not backing down.
Did I feel sorry for Swansea and the fans? No, no, a little bit. Like it's not. If you're a Swansea fan, it's not nice. right? You've gone 2-0 up. You're in absolute dreamland. There was a good shot of the fans, actually, where there was a little girl just sat.
Oh, I say little.
She was old enough to know better, but she was sat there getting very, like, she was shocked and overexcited. And, yeah, we broke the hearts.
Sorry, your justification for that is you've got some vendetta with a little girl. That's the...
I didn't know I had, but... No, it's...
No, I know what you're saying. And you know what? It's a hideous football cliche, and I'm really sorry that I'm going to say it. So all feel free to roll your eyes and tut, but you win some, you lose some, you know, they even themselves out.
And they don't. But they just never do. No, they don't. And do you know what? Hands up, yeah, the bad guys and the big clubs, because they're interlinked now. If you are a big club, again, I'm doing quotations. If you're a big club, you are the bad guys to anyone who is lower in the leagues or whatever. And Swansea have every right to feel hard done by, but that's football. And the next thing is VAR. And the big outcry is all clubs should have VAR in the FA Cup. If the Premier League clubs can have it, why can't Swansea? And that is fair.
Yeah,
fair game on that. But that's not Manchester City's fault. We were one of the clubs who voted for VAR in every game. Pep said that straight. We want it. He wants it because then, like you say, it will even itself out because it's fair and everyone gets the same. How is that our fault? Direct your outrage at the FA. Yeah. Not a single club who benefited from a decision.
Well, we've had another text again. Pop your name on it so we can give you a little, you know, little shout out there.
Not got the number saved.
Saying, remember, Liverpool United fans are moaning about it. Well, they should be blaming their own clubs for not voting for it. And like you say, exactly. we voted for VAR. I think it's probably worth saying as well. Obviously, if you're listening to this programme, you're most likely a Manchester City fan, unless, you know, you're just, you know, flicking through or trying to find a new podcast. You're very welcome on here. But we're talking about the fact that it was perhaps a dubious penalty and perhaps an offside goal that meant we ended up winning 3-2. Do you agree with that, Alex?
I mean, it is a dubious one, isn't it? I'm personally in favour of VAR. Or VAR, if you prefer. I think it's, with Adam on that one, I think, let's be honest, this idea that clubs haven't got the technology to install.
They were in the Premier League last year.
Yeah, and also.
Yeah, last year, yeah.
Has no one in Wales got a mobile phone to watch it on? Like, it's surely getting a screen into Swansea City is no issue. And that goes for any football club.
They had the camera angles, it was on TV.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
It's a very Jewish one. I'm in favour of VAR personally. I know it's a very divisive issue and some people are really, really against it. But I don't understand why it has to be in one match and not another.
I agree.
Imagine that with any other rule that a referee could use. Imagine we go, oh, well, that game, they're going to play the offside rule and that game they're not. Or that game you can get sent off and that game you can't. Or in this one, there's going to be 11 substitutions and this one you can't make any. It seems weird. If you're going to do it in a competition, none of this game or that game, every game in every competition or every game, in no competitions personally, you either commit to it or don't.
I agree.
But do you know what? Rather than argue about the decisions, my issue as a City fan is that we let it get to that point, and not to be negative to Swansea, but we were overwhelming favourites that game. They're a team that a division below her. They looked the much better team.
The Salina
goal was incredible. Take no credit away from him, but the defending before it was woeful.
Yeah.
Delph gave away a penalty. And you go, hang on a minute, if we are going to play 9 games in April, we talk about squad depth all the time. Where was it? Because quite frankly, we made Swansea look like Champions
poor.
League.
We were very, very poor. And I don't want to give Delph too much of a hard time. Really like him as a bloke, as a player. Very, like, got a lot of time for him, but he is just an accident waiting to happen. When he goes so many games without playing, he has this kind of passion and drive, and you can kind of see it in the game where if he makes a mistake somewhere on the field, he'll do anything he can to try and rectify it. Whether that's calamitous as it's been, look at that Wigan game last year. Pep did not forgive him for months and months. And then he obviously played a big part in us winning the league in the end, because that's just the way things work. We won't see Fabian Delph now play for City this season. I'm going to say that. I don't think we'll see him.
Even though he's dropped out of the England squad as well.
No, I don't think we'll see him. Pep seems to have this thing, and it's not just Delph. When players are repeatedly making very silly mistakes, he just seems to lose his head. So I don't think we'll see him this season. Look at Zinchenko, and we'll get onto him again later, because he's our shining light at the moment. Look at him playing left back. He's not a left back. And we know how good Delph was last year, but Yeah, that was bad. And Otamendi didn't cover himself in any glory either.
Are you worried then about the squad depth at all? Are you worried about the fact that we had to essentially bring Aguero on to kickstart the result?
Yes and no. That's why you have key players. Yeah. Is that they, you know, there's a reason that Aguero is Sergio Aguero.
And he was on the bench for that reason.
For that reason. Mm-hmm. That's why. It is alarming that the players that, you know, Premier League international footballers couldn't get the result, you know, before that point. And it does raise questions, because if Swansea can find us out, and you think, playing Spurs when we're going to have bookings, the international break is coming, inevitably someone else will get injured. You know, there are question marks.
One thing that game screamed was Swansea need to go and do absolutely everything they can to win that game. They got the two goals and then they sat back, but they looked absolutely exhausted by the end of it. Yeah. That's where the different levels come in. Spurs will not come at us like that because they know how we play. Swansea just had to go for it. They had all the fans in. That was the biggest game of the season for them, because they could have got to Wembley in that. And at one point, they nearly did. But at half-time, City were still favourites to win the game.
Yeah.
2-0 down.
I looked on, I know a few people did, looked on to a whatever betting site you look on. I personally don't bet. And do you know what? In fact, I'm so rubbish at betting, but I knew that this wasn't good. At half-time, for us to still win the game, it was 10/11. So yeah, what is that? What's that?
If you put 11 quid on, you get 10 back.
So that's rubbish, right?
Yeah, you're not even doubling your money.
And that was 2-0 down at half-time.
Yeah, and there's a reason for that, because we could never have been as bad as we were in the first half. I saw someone say, oh, well, the penalty obviously was the decider in that game, but that's a different... Right, okay, was it a penalty? I'll say probably yes, because penalties are now the softest thing in the world. Look at all the ones that have been given this season. It's stupid now.
I would say no, but I think the referee would say
yes. I agree. I wouldn't give it if I was a ref, but there's a reason I'm not a ref. But you can see why it's given. Look at all that. We've had worse penalty decisions than that this season. And look at some, I don't want to say Liverpool again, but they've had some questionable ones as well, and they'd admit that. That wasn't the deciding decision. The offside was.
The penalty,
even if it went to VAR, would have been tight.
And it was offside, but my issue with the offside was what, and obviously this is why VAR's been introduced, but what are these, like, the assistant referee has a minimal amount of jobs. Everybody could see that was offside. Yeah. I don't think it was marginal. Like, how has the assistant referee not picked that up?
No, that's why everyone wants VAR.
Yeah.
Because of the human error, and there's loads of it. But we were lucky, let's be honest.
But you make your own luck as well. And I think in defence of us, yes, fine, let's accept the two goals would have probably been ruled out if VAR had been in this game. But I still don't necessarily think that means we would have lost, because I think we were in the mentality where we could step up a number of gears and we would have found a way of winning that game.
Yeah, I agree on that. I think the penalty would have been given, just because we've seen ones that have been given with VAR. The offside would have been ruled out. Who's arguing that we wouldn't have won that game at 2-2?
Exactly.
Swansea looked dead on the feet and they put in a hell of a shift. But who's saying that we weren't winning that game? Not sure.
Well, we're going to find out, but it's to be discussed at length. We could be here all night, but we are going to come back shortly after this break. We're going to be playing 60 Seconds and talking through the international break. Don't miss it. Join us in a few moments.
Manchester City Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show. Manchester City Football Social with Blue Moon Rising.
Good evening and welcome back to the Manchester City Football Social with Blooming Rise, and I'm Adam Keith, and I'm joined by Nat and Alex. It's been a fast show. We've rattled through a few subjects, the lucky or not lucky Swansea win at weekend, and we've talked a little bit about City's alleged easy cup runs and rematch against Swansea. We've done all of that. In this section, we get your questions in. We've already got a few from Twitter. If you've got any more, tweet us at MCR Footy Social, text us on 87711 or give us a call on 0345 111 7625. But first, let's talk very briefly about the international break, because I'm sure we're going through it in much more detail next week. Do we like the international break? Is it good timing? Is it bad timing? Nat, you're a big fan, aren't you?
A bit of both. I absolutely not hate international football in general when I'm thinking about City, because I just worry about our players going off and getting injured. You know, that's like the international break to me is just looking at results, looking at news things and making sure no one's been injured. For the ones that aren't playing, I think it's a good break that's come at a good time, because we are going to go into this intense 9 games in 30 days period. So I'm happy about that. And I do think it's a nice break for us, and maybe it'll save us a couple of quid with all these games coming up.
Alex, you've had a look at who's playing who. Who are the main people? So I love how we're all just looking out for injuries. This is that part of the season where I really could not care less who wins, who loses, who scores. Just come back in one piece. Exactly. Who have we got? Who's in danger?
It does feel inevitable that who's somebody might get injured. Sterling and Walker, the England boys, of course, play the Czech Republic and Monaco, so not too far travel for them. And to be honest, we're quite fortunate in terms of where the players are going. Bernardo Silva has played for Portugal, but they've played both games at home, so he's not really got too much traveling to do. Mahrez plays for Algeria, but again, both the games are at home, so hopefully there won't be any injuries there. De Bruyne plays for Belgium, but they who were playing for Belgium at home in Brussels. So really, to be honest, as international breaks go, it's not too worrying. The only one to worry about is Edison and Jesus going all the way to South America.
Is there no one going across the world?
But they play for Brazil, a home game against Panama, which do they really need Edison and Jesus to beat Panama, Brazil?
Edison doesn't even play for him.
Exactly. So he's going all the way to Brazil to sit on the bench.
Good.
But then they're going from Brazil to play an away match at the Czech Republic.
That's closer.
And then coming back to the UK.
Tell you who's going to travel the furthest. Players who don't play. You can guarantee Aguero will be in Miami again, because he absolutely loves America, doesn't he? Those players will travel.
They're having a break, so that's fine.
It's a really nice break for some of these players. Aguero not called up, Laporte not called up, Stones, Delph sent back.
I'm not even getting upset or annoyed about that. I'm like, woo!
Bring everyone back in one piece, and that's all we hope for. Another good talking point, international break. Let's go totally off topic, because why not? It's Tuesday night. Leroy Sané's coat, please rate it. If anyone hasn't seen, go on Twitter and type in Leroy Sané coat. He's wearing a colouring book. I am told it's worth $5,000 though, so it's a big colouring book. What do you two think, fashionistas?
As the voice of Mancunian fashion myself, I reckon I'm dressed head to toe in £18, I reckon. Leroy Sané's coat, they haven't seen it, so it's like a sort of fluffy woman
teddy bear
number.
He's wearing it inside out.
Is he?
Yeah. It's sort of scrawled with what looks like children's hands.
Last day at school.
You know, when you're leaving the school. And
people pay $5,000 for this, because, I mean, I've got an 18-month-old who loves to scribble.
Yeah, I've got primary school. And
so, two birds with one stone. You can be fashionable in that. You could buy a $5,000 coat and have a $5,000 coat, and the little one can scribble on it. And it won't make any difference.
I was thinking I'm going to go buy a Primark coat and then sell it to Leroy Sané with Reggie's scribbles on it.
Well, the final thing on that is a bit of a sour note on it before we go into the 60-second game. The press have gone after him in Germany.
What?
Very similar to a Sterling back page. They've just gone in with a picture of Sané and they've put next to everything he's wearing how much it costs.
Oh.
And it's disgusting. But we've seen how Stern's dealt with it, and he's dealt with it magnificently. I hope that they get off his back ASAP, healthy.
Yep. I'm certainly no expert in the German media, but as far as I know, Leroy Sané is perhaps not as bad as Sterling, but he's certainly like a figure. He's sort of painted as a loose cannon. He's painted as someone who's more interested with the celebrity side of football, which might have been behind, if everyone remembers. He was left out of Germany's ill-fated World Cup squad. You know, he does seem to be that controversial figure. But what I like about Leroy Sané is he's like the anti-Ronaldo. The anti-Cristiano Ronaldo, because I think there's, like, in the way that he plays and the way that he walks and the way that he moves, he has a lot of Ronaldo's game about him. But when you look back to when Cristiano Ronaldo was 22, 23 years old, and he was painted as a bit of an ego and a bit full of himself and arguing with referees. You know, by the standards of Manchester City, Sané not the hardest worker on the pitch.
Quite shy.
But I feel like he is building towards that superstar level. And with that comes the wobbly fashion choices.
We've all made fashion mistakes, is what I'd say. We've all made fashion mistakes. Maybe we should do that next time and bring in a picture of ourselves and put it on Twitter.
I wore blue lipstick to the 99 playoff final.
Do bring it in. We'll do that on Twitter. We'll post some pictures. But time is running away from us as usual. And we have got 7 questions this week. Maybe we're just going to go for 7 because we like scoring 7 goals this year. So the DJ is going to set us up here with some timings.
So what's the rules around?
He didn't
our
like
game?
That. We've got 60 seconds. We've had questions from Twitter from our lovely followers, and they've sent in some questions. We have to try and answer as best as we can in 60 seconds. Okay. I'll read them out. I'll tell you who's going for it, and let's see if we can keep it in the 60 seconds. So, are we ready?
Yes.
All right. I'm
ready. Right. So, question one is from at Jaco Raticas. Sorry, I'm going to ruin everyone's name here. And the first question is, would you take Sancho back over Mahrez? Alex, go.
100%. As much as I like Riyad Mahrez, Jadon Sancho is lighting up the Bundesliga. He is English, he's homegrown. He is the one that got away. Natalie.
Yes, reluctantly, yes. Although I don't like the fact that Sancho wanted to leave us. He had the opportunity to stay with us, and I do like loyalty. Mahrez could have gone to anywhere, and he came to us, so he's definitely got that on his side.
I'm going to say yes and no. I would like Sancho. I wish we didn't let him go in the first place, but he wanted to leave, and as we discussed on the Friday show, he would have no qualms to join Manchester United, and that's already grating on me, the fact that he would probably go there. And Mahrez has done well, over 10 goals, over 10 assists in all comps, so he's hardly had a bad season, despite what anyone else is saying. So I'm having him. Alex, you?
I'm Sancho.
Sancho?
I'm 50-50, but I'll go 51 Sancho.
Oh, bang on time. Question two is sent from our very own Sam Lee, and this is an interesting one. Would you rather have 5 Zinchenkos in your squad or 2 Bernardo Silvers? Natalie Pike, go.
This is really tough. I don't know. I absolutely love Zinchenko, and he's becoming an absolute superstar in the team, isn't he? His work rate is incredible. But Bernardo Silva, to me, is probably our player of the season, so I'm going to take 2 Bernardo Silvers.
I am going to go 5 Alexander Zinchenkos. Reason being, Zinchenko is the, and this won't sound like praise, but it really is, he is the James Milner of the future. He will be that player that could play every position as he goes up. He could play on the wing, he could play up front, he could play in goal.
A United fan said Zinchenko is like John O'Shea, but for the new style of football. He could play absolutely anywhere. But
we've really not flattered him.
Bernardo Silva is my favourite player, and he's absolutely adorable. So if we could have 2 of him with that little left foot, look at his finish against Swansea. For as much as I love Alexander Zinchenko, I want 2 Bernardo Silvers in our squad.
Me too.
So I'm having 2 Bernardos.
2.
Sorry, Alexander. Really sorry.
We love you.
He doesn't rap as well as Zinchenko. We'll get onto that another show. Third question is from at MCFC Knox, who's MCFC Knoxville, so all the way in the States. Very good. Is it time to start considering the Q word? And I'll go first with that one. Let's go with that one. Yes. It's the middle of March and we're still in 3 competitions. We've won 1. We're in a semi-final against Brighton. If we beat Brighton, we've got Watford or Wolves. Favourable draws, as the media might say. And Champions League beat, we've got to win 3 more ties and we win that. Win 9 games in the Premier League. I've just simplified it too much. Yes. Next.
I'm going to go yes as well. I'm going to join you, Adam, but only for us as fans. We have the right to dream. That's what makes football fun. The highs and lows, the expectations. Without it, what could come of the disappointment we are so used to tasting. But I don't want to see Pep Guardiola. I don't want to see the players talking about it. I want to see them focusing on the next 3 points.
I'm going to say no, just because I don't want us to end up being disappointed if we do a treble. Like, we didn't do a quadruple, but we won the Champions League and the Premier League and the League Cup. Like, if we win 3 things, it'll be incredible. If we win 2 things, you know, if we win the league or the Champions League, it'll be incredible. So I don't want us to start talking about it because I don't want it to diminish.
Are we setting ourselves up for failure there? That is the worry.
That's the Manchester City way.
No. Excellent. Right, next question is from at Packed Mouse. Don't get that, but yeah, wonderful name. Who is your number one Fernandinho replacement? Nat, let's go to you first.
I'm going Neves from Wolves, although I am put off by the alleged £100 million price tag that Wolves are putting on him. I don't want us to spend £100 million on anybody. I think that's absolutely ridiculous. But in terms of, you know, as 21, he's just been called up to the Portugal squad. He's going to be playing alongside Bernardo Silva. You can imagine them getting this cute little Portuguese partnership going on in midfield. So at the minute, he's the only person I can think of. But I do also want to say I'd rather Fernandinho stayed into his 40s.
Mine is Eric Garcia, the young lad from the academy. Yes. We have seen in flashes this season, but is there a young player as confident on the ball? And obviously, as a centre-back by nature, has got the defensive qualities as well. Why spend 50 million on Declan Rice? Why spend 100 million on Ruben Neves, where there is a homegrown replacement ready to be exploited?
I wanted Frenkie de Jong, and I'm still very, very sad about this. He's still my number one Fernandinho replacement. Quite sadly, I feel like we've had a messy breakup. Oh, no, didn't even have time. Next question from Lickith, I think the name, _BR. We have 4 games in 16 days in London. Should Manchester City build a training facility down south? Alex, try and pick the bones out of that one.
I don't think we'll get it done in 3 weeks, but this problem will probably continue in the future. And yes, I think we should. 2 reasons. Number one, it will be great for us to have somewhere to stay. And number two, it will definitely upset Tottenham, Arsenal and Chelsea, which I think is our number one motivation.
No. Let's build a hotel and a training complex and get it sponsored by another Abu Dhabi's type company just to annoy everybody. Yes.
Yeah, I'm 100% yes. And then we can be really kind and we can be good guys again and let other people use it in our absence. Lower league clubs, grassroots,
yes.
Academies. And like you say, we've got 4 games in 16 days. It would make sense and stop all the travel. So yes, whoever sent that in, that is a good suggestion.
It.
But not in the next 3 weeks. That's too tight. Turn around. Next question. This is from Hafiz, who was texting us in earlier. So not one from Twitter, but feel free to send them in however you want. Will a City player win an individual award this season? I'll have a go at that. Probably not. Van Dijk's already going to win the Player of the Year. The Player of the Year is not decided after the league's won, so it doesn't matter if we win it. He will win it, and probably quite rightly so, especially if they win it. But we've had Sterling, Silva and Aguero who have been phenomenal. It hasn't gone to a defender, though, for absolutely ages, so I'm not sure. No one's winning the Ballon d'Or from City this year. Let's be honest. Doesn't matter if Aguero gets the 40 goals, he is never winning Player of the Year.
I am going to say no as well. I think you're all right. I think the media have already anointed Van Dijk the best player who's ever played football. The man is a superhero. He can do anything. He'll be top scorer this season. He's going to solve Brexit. He's going to solve homelessness in Manchester. Virgil Van Dijk, is there anything more the man can do?
That's Vincent Company that's doing that, thank you.
It is, actually, it is. Manchester City, though, we're a team, and actually we've had superstars all over the pitch.
I say yes, we are going to win an individual award, not the PFA, because that will go to Van Dijk.
Good point.
We are going to win a Football Writers Award because we are going to win 3 or 4 trophies this season.
And Raheem Sterling will win Young Player of the Year, so everything I just said was a lie.
Yep.
Final question. This is the toughest one, and it's Sam Lee being very serious. Here we go, let's get through this quickly. Is Twitter ruining football?
As somebody who has a career in Twitter and football, absolutely not. It's the future. I think it's the voice of the fans. That's how people interact with it. True, that you can contact any player, any manager, any club at any time. It has let the debate go 24 hours.
I think Twitter is ruining not only football, but life in general, and we'd all be better just deleting it and getting on with our lives. It gives people the chance to voice their opinion on a national stage to the point where they suddenly think they're a journalist. You're not a journalist. You've got a Twitter account.
Well, I don't know if we can top that, but it's true. Sam's point was nobody's going to get any credit for anything ever. Somebody could solve Brexit whilst winning 4 trophies, and it doesn't matter because Aguero was offside at Swansea. So nothing matters anymore. And that is that for 60 seconds for the second week. Get in touch next week with your questions at BM Rising and at my MCR Footy Social.
I absolutely love that.
That's the first time I've played, and that clock in headphones, that's like a Chinese punishment of war. That's brutal. I'll be hearing that in my sleep.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for texting in all of your questions. We're sorry we didn't get to them all. There was absolutely loads. As always, please do subscribe to the podcast and give us a review. You can get it anywhere that you do download your podcasts.
Manchester City Football Social. Subscribe to the podcast now and never miss a show.
Oh, what a show. Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe if you haven't already. We really enjoy making this podcast and we hope you enjoy listening to it. If you do, we've been nominated for the Football Blogging Awards for Best Podcast. If you'd like to vote for us, that would be amazing. You can do that on Twitter and you have to tweet the following phrase. I am voting for at
MCR Footy Social in the at the FBAs for hashtag best podcast.
Pretty
please. Please, we want a night out, please.
Yeah. It'll be lovely.
Night out on our boss, please.
We're going to get taken out for a load of beers if we get to go to the awards
ceremony.
Pretty
please.
And to be honest, imagine the content. Guys, please. I really like beers. So please do that. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you again. This has been the Manchester City Football Social.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.